This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, let's go. It's totally okay.
It's
Wait
okay.
a minute. Did you all not hear the show yesterday?
Right?
What the hell's going on?
Did you not hear me tell you that that was going to happen?
It's a free swing.
It was Nostradiblis. I said they'd lose by 30.
Yes.
And you're like, really? And I said, well, maybe 20. And whatever. And I said, you know what?
You're wrong.
I said, you're going to lay the 10.5. If you're a betting person, yeah. Which I'm not, that one was as predictable as a Brock Purdy telegraph pass against Kansas City.
Yes or no?
Or Baltimore.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, in terms of result. No, in terms of sort of why and how.
Well, how?
No.
They were down 13-0.
Understood that. Yeah, that's
night.
No, not really, because they still made it a game in the third quarter and all
Ish.
That stuff. My point is this. It was very evident quickly what Steve was doing, but I didn't think that he was going to do it. I didn't know before the game that he's going to turn yesterday into a tryout. He turned it into a tryout. And I know that a lot of you are bugged by that. How can you do that in a playoff game? My response would be, I actually, now that I see him do it, and I watch the way the players play, I don't know how you not do that. I don't know how the Warriors were supposed to know how to play in the playoffs on the road without Steph Curry. And I don't know why some of you think that they should know that. Why would they know that? How would they know that? Unless you actually think that the Warriors win basketball games because the eight guys who play are just godlike figures and they can go out there and they can beat other NBA teams without a plan. They just go out there because they're that much better. If that's what you believe, then that's what you believe. But I believe what Steve has been telling us all year long, which is that there is a process of trial and error. And then there was a major acquisition, and it arrived at a spot where the Warriors, as Steve has said over and over, we found something. Well, that thing they found in February is now gone. It's gone because their best players hurt. So you got to go re-find something else. You have to do it very quickly. And the quickest way to do it, I would argue, is not to try one thing and then realize after a game, oops, that was wrong. Now let's try something else in game 3. Oops, that was wrong. Now you're down 2-1. Let's try. No, try it all. Try it all right now so we can see what does work and what doesn't work. And if it's a winnable game, go for it. If it's not, fine. It's 1-1. Let's go home with a clue about what we're going to try to do on Saturday night. I thought it made perfect sense once I saw him do it.
Yeah, and I thought that that would be the way he would go going into it. Now, did I think that they would play 14 guys in the first half? No, I didn't think that they would go that dramatically in that direction, but I told you yesterday that I thought that it was going to be a throw everything at the wall kind of game and figure out who you have and what works. And you know what? Quentin Post played 3.5 minutes and he was a minus 13. They were down 13-0, and yep. It was not all his fault, but after 3.5 minutes, you realized, okay, maybe Quentin's not the guy for this game, so who else? Who else can we go to? And eventually you went to TJD, you played Knox, you played almost everybody on the roster in that first half, Pat Spencer. Okay, turns out that Pat's probably not the long-term answer. Moses Moody, my goodness, my God, Moses, where are you? Like, you might as well be in a red and white striped shirt. We can call you Waldo, because where are you, Waldo? But I do think that over the course of the first half last night, Steve Kerr and company got a look at everybody, and they probably now know who might work, who might not work, what combos work. We don't know that, but I do think you looked at that game, especially the first half, and you realize that there are three or four guys who are probably not quite ready for the moment.
All right, so we're fully aware you're all going to call us homers all day for the takes that we just threw out there, but let me explain why it's an extension of the fact that those of you who disagree with what Dibs and I just said, you're the homers. You're the homers. Not us. It's you.
Not us?
No, it's you.
It's always us.
You want to know why? You want to know why it's you? Do you understand how myopic it is for any of you to think that the Warriors are just going to go right out and beat the Wolves without Steph Curry? Do you understand how unbelievably myopic that is? Like, honestly, I want to just look at people and be like, where do you get off? Like, how disrespectful are you to the opponent? And in many ways, how disrespectful are you to Steph Curry? You actually thought the Warriors were just going to go, yep, didn't miss a beat. Take that, Wolves. We're still better. Really? Really? That's why I'm kind of taken aback today by what sounds like many still went to their TV with expectation last night. I don't get it.
Well, I had an expectation.
Well, of
and
what?
It was of
so,
that.
So do I. Well, yes.
Of that.
And
my expectation was Minnesota is down 1-0. They're at home. You don't have Steph. You're going to get hammered. So, for me, that game was exactly what I thought it would be.
I agree with that, and I would say that you can have expectations about certain things. Like, there were cutaway shots to the bench where guys were just shaking their head because there were things last night that an NBA team should not do. I don't care who's available. You know, you just mentioned the way Moody played. I mean, they were sloppy. They were disorganized. I get it to a certain degree because they were holding tryouts right in front of our eyes. At the same time, there are specific things that certain players are doing where you're just like, you guys, come on, be an adult. So that's fine. But I am finding a lot of what I'm hearing to be a little bit surprising with regard to the idea. Again, what was the whole theme of our conversation yesterday? Hope? Yes. Expectation? No.
No. No.
No. You thought they were just going to go win because they have Warrior jerseys? I don't know, man. Who's the homer now? Like, come on, you guys. Steph Curry's out. Steph Curry is out.
Right.
You got to acknowledge that.
For sure. But
you have to.
I do look at the next two games, and, you know, game three tomorrow and game four is Monday, and I look at how you can possibly win one of those games. And I do think that the blueprint last night existed because there were times where defensively you played great and you were able to hold Minnesota at bay. And even though offensively you didn't do a lot in the first half or the second half, I think that there is a blueprint for how the Warriors can win a game against Minnesota. Because you look at the total of the game, and yeah, they had 117, but that's not really 117. Like, it was a game that was, I think,
totally
closer than that for a long time. And then you got to the fourth quarter and Steve punted and they did what they did and they won by 23. Fine. It didn't even matter what the final score was. I saw stretches in that game where the Warriors competed, the Warriors defended, the Warriors were every bit up to the task of playing Minnesota. And that, for me, is what makes me feel good about last night.
Yeah, I was asked, a good friend texted during the show and goes, Willard, do you think that they can still win a game in this series based on what we're looking at? And I'm like, absolutely. Of course they can. First of all, they're coming home. They're coming home. It is going to look different. Second of all, they're obviously in the process right now of information gathering.
Yep.
And you named some people who I think stood up, raised their hand, and said, hey, Steve, don't go to me. But there were some people who did the opposite. And you all know who the leader of that pack is. And isn't life funny?
Isn't it weird?
Life is so amazing sometimes.
He was on the podium.
Here's your shot, Jonathan. Here it is. Like, we've spent 2 months at this station going back, forth, sideways, upside down about Jonathan Kuminga, often at times where it wasn't even a relevant conversation, but so many people were into it. Well, the world twisted and turned, and here it is. And he has an opportunity now to really change the entire conversation and, quite frankly, save his Warriors career if he still wants to be a Warrior. I don't even know. But Jonathan Kuminga, the Eminem song is playing. Here's your shot. Here's your shot. And he, after a terrible start, man, he did it last night. And that changes where this is going next, no doubt. All right. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems, and we'd love to hear your calls all afternoon long. 888-957-9570 is the number. Your calls right now. Series tied 1-1.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Willard and Dibs.
Draymond, right corner, Kuminga with 7. Waits, drives on Gobert, beats it to the rim, goes up and flushed it down right over the top of him. A dunk by Kuminga. It's a 10-point game, 62-52. What a move by Jonathan Kuminga.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Get that man an apron and let him cook.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
I thought I already killed that phrase.
No, I mean,
I don't want anyone to cook. I want the Warriors to play good basketball.
I've already bought him a spatula and some tongs and an apron.
Gonna need more than that to cook. All that'll do is flip it.
Yeah, slap it up, flip it, put my thing, rub it down. Thank you. Okay. Oh, no. Anyway.
That's it. That's
anyway,
it.
It's so, a Friday. We can
whatever.
Anyway, no, we're supposed to be mad. The Warriors lost, Mark. I'm angry.
I can't believe it. I cannot believe that the Warriors went into Minnesota as double-digit underdogs in a game where the high-level opponent was desperate and didn't have their best player and lost.
If they haven't fired Kerr by now.
Chokers.
If they haven't fired Kerr by now, then I don't even know what we're doing, Lacob.
Yeah. I mean, look.
I mean, come on.
You sit down and you dive into these games with all of the fandom and hope and all of those things, but you know, and sometimes we throw stuff out there before a game, and I'll straight admit it if we come in the next day and it wasn't true. It's kind of like when I said I'm never going to get mad at Buddy again. Well, two games in, I haven't. No, not mad at him at all.
No.
And I went into last night. What do you and I call that game?
It was a gravy game.
It's the most relaxing playoff game of all time. And it was. It was. Went on over to Floodwater, Manhattan on the rocks. Get a couple of appetizers, and it's 13-0. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep.
So, again, like, there's plenty of stuff to break down, but in that scenario, once it started to unfold and you see the whole team going into the game, I thought it was pretty quickly evident what the Warrior coaching staff decided to do. And it does make sense. And I'll fully understand a fan that goes, dude, this is a playoff game. Like, these are urgent. You can't kick these things. Well, I would argue that coaches do it all the time in moments, depending on the scenario. Because it's also kind of funny that a lot of you have gotten mad at Steve Kerr for minutes for Steph Curry in the Rockets series. And you'll say, oh, this injury, this is an overusage injury. And then the next breath, you're like, how come Draymond and Jimmy are only playing 29 minutes? You got to go get that. No. You look for moments where you are doing a risk reward. And that's all that was happening last night. And so last night was true to form. That was gravy. If you could get it, awesome. But you're not going to spend your last dollar trying to get it, because it is much more likely that you will win tomorrow night. Not likely, but much more likely.
Or Monday, right?
Or Monday.
Yep.
Or maybe even both if you get lucky.
You're allowed to. Yep.
They did it last series. So how do you sort of attempt to win, see how your team's going to react, but also keep your guys fresh and gather the necessary information for games 3 and 4? Again, I know it wasn't the most fun game to watch, but I understood it.
Yeah,
I got no doubt. I understand what they're doing.
And I understood what was happening in real time, and I kind of thought that that would be the way that game would go. And if you just look at the first quarter, when the Warriors had 15 points and they left the quarter down 14, and in that quarter, they played 11 players, which is pretty dramatic when you talk about a playoff rotation. Houston
totally.
Played 8 only in games 1 through 7. They never got beyond 8 unless it was garbage time. And yet in this game last night, all right, we're going to start QP, and we're going to see what he can do. 3 minutes and 18 seconds, no shot attempts, minus 13. Okay, Q, it's not going your way. We're down 13-0. We're going to go ahead and take you out. All right, Gary, get in there. Moses, I mean, fingers crossed. Can you be the Moses you were in January, in February? Well, no. All right, Pat Spencer, we caught lightning in a bottle with you, you little lacrosse-playing D1 basketball tough guy. Oh, boy. He was a minus 10 in 2 minutes and 48 seconds in the first quarter. All right, Gee, you're an energy guy. Get in there, Gee. All right, Gee, he did pretty well. And
throwing the ball over a ton, but yeah.
Well, not in the first quarter.
Yes.
I'm just thinking about that first quarter where Steve was like,
true.
You. I'm going to give you 2 of these and 3 of these and 1 of those. And it's like everything that he tried. Gary, I don't know what happened to Gary. Gary Payton II, but he has not been the same Gary. Moses Moody is on a milk carton. And, you know, Kevon Looney has not been effective. Kuminga came in and he was okay in the first quarter, and then he got really, really good.
I thought he was way less than okay in the first quarter. I thought he was objectively awful in
they
the first quarter.
Were, and you actually mentioned in our show thread that he barfed on himself, and my response was that they all barfed on themselves.
But I will give Jonathan that he hung in there, and I do also, by the way, I'm going to give Jonathan some grace that some of these other players don't get because he hasn't been playing.
Yeah.
So it's like, dude, Moody, you don't really have the luxury of being like, ooh, my confidence is shot. Well, no, you don't get to do that in professional sports. Kuminga gets a minute. He gets a minute because if his confidence is shot and he's questioning himself, you get that grace, I think. But what I kept saying to the TV, because I am a TV talker, sometimes the TV will listen, usually not, but I'll talk to that TV. And I told Jonathan Kuminga through the TV in that second half, dude, just go. Whatever it is you're going to do, and I've noticed this is his biggest problem, and I think it's what drives the coaching staff crazy at times. Whatever you're going to do, do it.
Do it.
Do it.
That's your. I love
if
when you do
you
that.
If you want to pass the ball, pass the ball. If you want to attack the rim, attack the rim. What we really can't have is you sitting there with the ball in your hand going,
You doing Steiny noises?
Good Lord, dude, go. And then he went.
Yep.
And then he went, and he went like 8 of 11. And I'm like, there you go. There you go. All of these role players need to know that with Steph Curry out, I think there's more room for missed shots. Like, we're not going to come down your road. You've got to fire. They may go in. You're going to need a little luck here. Your franchise is out. He's out. You're going to need a little luck here, but be decisive with whatever you're doing and trust your instincts. And I thought in the second half, he really did that.
Yeah, no doubt.
So awesome. Awesome. They're going to need that now.
They're going to need a lot of it. And I'm just looking at the first quarter and they're down 25-7 and Steve Kerr calls timeout and they put five players in and they took five players out. That's all you need to know about the coaching staff was thinking.
It's a youth game.
It's a youth game, and it's also like, I mean, we got nothing, guys. We're down 25-7, so, you know, Pods, Buddy, Jimmy, Gee, and Draymond, get in there. And Gary, Jonathan, Moses, Kevon, and Pat, you come out. Five in, five out in an NBA game?
Well, I had told you before the game that I was expecting Jimmy Butler to do 3 minutes per half on the sideline. And when Jimmy went out for the second time in the first half, and it was at like the 9-minute mark of the second quarter, he went and sat out. And I even said to Christy, I go, oh, there goes Jimmy. Jimmy's going out. She goes, he already went out. He came back in. He went out again. And I was like, ooh. And that was the moment where I was like, okay, they're playing this different. Because if they were going all out, you know what, to the wall, if they were doing that, Jimmy was barely coming off of the floor. And so then it's like the light bulb goes on and it's like, right, the Warriors and all NBA teams say all year, this is about combinations. It's about certain combinations on the floor together. Some of them fit, some of them don't. How's the other team going to defend this combination? How are they going to defend that combination? There's no way that the Warriors have access to that information before last night without Steph Curry. There's no way for them to do that. This is not as simple as like, well, you need to develop them. No, how can you run all of these permutations when you don't have games to do that?
Right.
You can't run it in practice. How are the Timberwolves going to react to this guy and that guy and this group of people? You need to know that. And if you're going to do that and something starts working and you got a close game, okay, go for it. But if not, yeah, grab Draymond a few extra minutes on the bench. Get some more information, see who's ready for the moment, and I guarantee you on this plane flight home today, they sat there with a pen and paper and wrote the whole thing out, and they've got a much better idea of at least what they want to try tomorrow night.
Right, right. I mean, you look at the subs in the second quarter, and we'll get to the Draymond part of it where, you know, there was a moment where you had to just take Draymond out to protect Draymond.
For sure.
And keep him away from seven technicals, which is a suspension, and keep him away from flagrant fouls and the rest of it, because Draymond on the court, this is Draymond on the court, he was a little bit unhinged. He was a little bit, not out of control, but he was trending toward getting to the spot where he was going to get a tech. He did.
He could
have. A second tech.
He could have.
An ejection, a flagrant, whatever. He was, I think, going down that road. And I know that there are a lot of reasons that have happened. They've been well documented. We can talk about all of it. But to your point, like the subs, and I'm looking at the game log in the second quarter, Knox, he comes in.
Yeah.
A minute in the second for Gee. And then 40 seconds later, TJD in for Jimmy. Then Spencer in for Pods. And, you know, Butler in for Draymond. It was a constant, like, in and out, trying to figure out what combination might actually work.
My man even went into the game. What's my guy? Braxton Key went in the game.
B. Key.
We're watching the game, and we got a couple of, hey, who's that?
Right.
We got a couple of those. Yes, that's what the Warriors. Yeah, that's what the Warriors are trying to do, and I get it. I get in a playoff game how that can feel pretty frustrating. But as I saw it, I'm like, oh yeah. Like if you're gonna try to actually win game 3 and 4, you got to know. You got to figure this out. You know, you probably wouldn't do it that way if Steph was gonna miss one game, maybe even 2 games. But Steph's gonna miss. And Shams said it, what many of us were already sort of thinking yesterday, is game 6 is the earliest return. That's the earliest return. And so you have to prepare for this series to potentially even get to its conclusion without Steph Curry, which means the Warriors, you know, this is studying for a final exam and starting the night before the exam. That's what they're doing. You got to find a...
You got to cram.
Yep. You got to find a whole new scenario, a new plan, new strategy, and you need to do it on the fly with plane flights every other day.
No doubt. And I do think that they may have found something in that third quarter where you cut it to 7, Buddy hits a 3, and the T-Wolves take timeout, and it's like, okay. And then Naz Reid misses a layup. Jimmy Butler gets it in the front court, and the traveling from Jimmy Butler, remember when he jumped up?
Yes.
And then he like landed and he tried to like dribble. And
I thought it was a travel and an up and down and like it was
a lot of things.
It was all of those things.
But they had the ball down 7.
Yep.
Not that they were going to win the game.
No.
But I do think that first part of the third quarter is something that, like you talked about the plane flight. The coaching staff looks at that part of the third and you think, okay, what do we have? We had Butler, we had Kuminga, we had Pods, we had Heald, we had Draymond. Is that something that can work for longer stretches? I hope so.
Maybe. Yeah, we're going to go to the phones here. The Golden State Valkyries inaugural season is here. You do not want to miss the first ever WNBA season in the Bay. Catch Tiffany Hayes, Kate Martin, Kayla Thornton. Get to know these names and the Valkyries all summer long at Chase Center. Tickets are available at valkyries.com. But remember, as we told you yesterday, we've got 2 chances for you to win a pair of tickets to the May 16th home opener. That's a week from tonight. And you can win that with us today. So just make sure you're listening during the 4 o'clock hour and the 5 o'clock hour for your chance to win your way in. All right, out to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Hayward. Hey, Mike, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
I think you guys are getting a little too easy on Kerr. I think...
Mike, are you okay?
I'm fine. I think that he should already know, you know, what he should do in this situation.
How? How's that even possible? Explain it to me.
What do you mean, how is it possible?
How would he... No. Don't say he's a professional. How would you know what groups of players work well together when you don't do that during the regular season because Steph Curry is a part of the team and you're trying to win those games desperately? How would you have an opportunity to test drive all of these other combinations?
It's called practice.
Yeah, you can't do it in practice because there's not an opposing elite-level basketball team trying to defend you in practice.
I agree, but you still can run drill. You know, you can run plays. You can do stuff. You don't have to look so disorganized.
Yeah. I mean, Mike, your phone is, it sounds like you're in a windstorm or something there. I disagree.
Well,
I
agree in principle, but if you want to look at their schedule and you want to find me the time when they were able to practice, and Steve Kerr has actually said that to
another
us.
Another good point.
You know, Steve Kerr has said that there hasn't been a lot of time to actually practice, and you didn't really have a lot of opportunity to play JK with Jimmy Butler because Kuminga was hurt for a long time when Butler came. And, you know, TJD, he has been out of the rotation. So now you don't have Steph. And so you're going to need all hands on deck. Well, how does TJD and JK and Butler play with Draymond? Like, what are those combinations? You can't possibly know that in advance.
No, I'm with you. That's a good point that, first of all, at this time of year, they have not had a lot of practice time. And I will take it a step further. I don't even think the practice time helps. You can't go find that information in a practice setting by, as you say, running drills.
Right.
You have to do it against Rudy Gobert. And oh, by the way, who would have been there for all of those practices if they had happened? Steph Curry is there and playing basketball. And I hope everyone understands how much that changes everyone's job. Like, you may even look at a Moody or a Payton or something like that in these upcoming games, and you're like, huh, why do they look so bad? Their shots are so much more open when Steph Curry's on the floor. Now he's not on the floor. He's not a threat.
Yep.
That's going to change everybody's defense. It's going to change everybody's role. So the idea that you could just call a practice and know how different combinations of players are going to react against Rudy Gobert, Naz Reid, and Julius Randle, I don't see that. I don't see that as an opportunity, and your point is well taken. They haven't even had the practice time in the last 2 months because of an absolute breakneck schedule that they've been running. Let's go to Hassan in Milpitas. Hi, Hassan. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, guys. Appreciate you guys taking my call. I think what you've been saying, Willard, this last hour or so I've been listening is like, I think it resonates a lot with the fan base. I think people that don't really understand what's happening right now with Steph being out, I think that is maybe even a result of shock because people just don't get it. Like the whole, everything changes after this. Right. So I agree a lot with what you've said and I think that resonates a lot. Now with Steph being out, there isn't an ability to create something that's going to give you something that effective. Right. So you're going to try things. And I think Steve Kerr did a really good job of that to see what's going on. Because he's given the circumstances he's in, right? So that's kind of one of my first points is like people that don't get that the team's not gonna go out there and start winning games without Steph Curry if there isn't a plan. So you know, the team going down, fighting back to 7 points and Steve Kerr takes everyone out. There was circumstances to that. I totally agree with that. Like there was circumstances to that. So with that said, I think moving on to the next few games, you got to find out what works, right? And one good thing, one positive is I just don't see Timberwolves like you're not looking at them and you're afraid. Like there's definitely a lot of opportunity for the team to take advantage of some of these games while Steph's out. So yeah, with that said, and then one more other point I wanted to make, and I've been hearing a lot about this, is Draymond Green. Draymond Green is Draymond Green. Like, you're not going to change this guy. Like, people that are very close to him, that have been with him for years, have not been able to do that. He's a double-edged sword. You're going to get what you're going to get. So the only thing that I love Draymond Green. Like, there's no championships without him. So, like, one thing is he's just putting himself an opportunity to make his teammate, to put his teammates in a position where they could fail because he's reaching that point where he's going to get suspended, you know, if he continues this. So letting down his teammates is really my biggest gripe with him, you know. And so that I wanted to get that off my chest. I appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, Hassan,
yeah,
you too.
Thank you, Hassan.
It's such a difficult line to walk. And I get where everyone's coming from on that, where it's like, dude, you've got to tap it down because you need to be there and you need to, your teammates need you there. And I think his response would be, right, I totally get that, but I wonder if everybody understands I literally don't know another way to play. And the way that he has played has led to such unbelievable success. So I get it. It's very frustrating. It's very, very frustrating to watch Draymond continue to do what looks like some sort of self-implosion, but at the same time, fully understanding, and we've learned this for more than a decade now, this is him. It's not going to change. I don't know if he would be as effective of a player without it. Yeah, like, it seems like, you know, you could probably be just as effective without whacking people in the face they foul you in the. I don't know why you have to do that.
Sure.
I don't get it.
Right.
But I'm not Draymond Green, and I don't, you know what I mean? I also can't really fully question the success that he and the organization have had with him.
Right. So. But when you look at incidents like last night where you get fouled, and in the act of you being fouled, you throw your forearm or your elbow into Naz Reid's face, and now you get a technical foul for that, then that becomes, to me, a net neutral, where you did a good thing. You drew a foul on their player, and now you get free throws, or I don't think they were in the bonus, or maybe it was a shooting foul or not, but and you follow up the contact by putting your arm and, you know, knocking somebody basically to the floor. So that, for me, becomes almost a net negative, because now that's five technical fouls, and it's not a flagrant foul. It's a technical foul, and I'm looking at the definition of it right now in the NBA rule book that you know that I love. But you're Draymond, and now you've got five techs, and when you get two more, you're suspended. So let's just play this out. You come out in game three at home, and you win. You come out in game four, and you lose, and Draymond gets a tech, because he gets a tech every, I don't know, game and a half, roughly. Yeah. He's gotten five techs in nine games.
More than every other game, correct. Yeah.
Right, so basically a half a tech a game. So every other game, he gets a tech. So you win game three, you lose game four, you get a tech. You lose game five, you win game six, you get a tech.
You're out.
You're out for game seven.
Yep.
So what are we doing here? We've gotten to a point where, you know, Draymond's putting himself in a certain amount of jeopardy based on things like last night, which to me was totally unnecessary.
It was totally unnecessary, and he's got to figure it out, and he's done it before. But then again, he's also gone over the line and cost his team in the playoffs before.
Yep.
So listen, we've all experienced this. We've watched him walk that line. 888-957-9570. We're going to keep going with the phones. I wanted to throw this out there too, though, just to at least. I don't know. Clearly, there are a lot of people that watch this maybe a little differently than you and I did, and that's fine. Everybody watch it and expect what you want. That's great. But you know, like what I thought last night was, wasn't it in Green Bay this year? Brandon Allen. Remember that game?
Yep.
Remember how quickly it was over? Remember how completely pointless it felt to go out there and be like, okay, I think we can win this game. And then you went out and watched it for 4 minutes, and you're like, oh my God. Oh, God. What is this team? It's a team without its leader. And again, if that backup gets a different, and it's a little different in football, I get it, but like if you get some more time and you get some more reps, maybe you can figure out something that moves the ball down the field a little bit. But that first game, come on, man. What'd y'all expect?
Yep.
What'd y'all expect? Steph Curry's out.
That's a good comp, by the way.
I mean, Lord, I can't believe how many people are like, it's fine. It's not fine. Curry's out. It's totally different. Everything. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We'll keep going with the calls here in just a sec. Stay right where you are. It's Willard and Dibs.